We turn in God's Word tonight to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. At Cornerstone, where I'm from, I'm working through the book of James. And the last sermon I preached in that series is the text I bring to you tonight, verses 11 and 12 of James 4. But let's read the chapter. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith or speaketh in vain? The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We read that far in God's holy and inspired word. Let's reread those verses 11 and 12 of James 4. I ask you to read those verses with me, but also to keep your Bible open to this text. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? The title or theme of this evening's sermon is Antinomian Legalism. Antinomian Legalism. And that may sound at first like a strange title to you. To some of you, it might sound strange because those words are unfamiliar to you. They really should not be unfamiliar to you. So let me remind you what those two words mean as separate words. Antinomianism is an error, the error really, that James is fighting against here in this book, in this epistle. Literally, the word antinomianism means to be against the law, anti-law. There are many variations or versions of antinomianism today, but basically it is a false teaching that says obedience to the law and good works are not necessary, or not necessary for the Christian. Antinomians take one doctrine or a variety of doctrines of Scripture. Usually they take the doctrines of grace and they twist this doctrine of grace or another doctrine of Scripture. They abuse it to excuse their sin or to continue in their sin and promote godliness in themselves or others. That attitude we find in many places of Scripture, including Romans 6, verse 1, that we shall sin so that grace may abound. And James answers that antinomian element that he is very conscious of and the Spirit who inspires him is conscious of in the churches of his day as well as in the churches of our day. Good works do matter, James says, not to save us. No, he's not contradicting Paul in that sense. But good works do matter in that they demonstrate our faith. For faith without works, James says in chapter 2, is dead. We should be familiar with the word antinomian and that concept. That should not be strange to our ears. Not any longer, at least. In our title, we also get the word legalism. Legalism should not be strange either. In fact, that might be a more familiar word in our circles. Legalism is often explained as the opposite extreme of antinomianism. Legalism has the word law in its very name. And while the antinomian cries, no law, no law, no law, no need to obey the law, the legalist cries, law, law. We must obey the law to obtain salvation. We must obey the law in addition to Jesus' work to be justified before God. Law to gain heaven. Law to get into the covenant. Some condition to fulfill according to the law. That's the legalist teaching. It's a proud teaching. When Scripture says faith alone, legalism says faith and works. When Scripture says Christ alone, the legalist says Christ and me. In addition to this works righteousness, legalism usually, in its pride, begins to make up its own man-made laws. So not only do they say we need to obey the laws of Scripture, but they come up with their own laws. The Pharisees in Jesus' day are a perfect example of that. Laws about the Sabbath. Laws about steps you may take on the Sabbath. Laws, all kinds of do's and don'ts, which were not in the Bible. And the legalist then takes the laws of Scripture and his own man-made laws to judge others. We should be familiar with legalism. That should not be a strange word to your ears. However, what might understandably be strange at first is taking the antinomian error and the legalism error and putting them together as we do today. Antinomian legalism? Or we can put it the other way, legalistic antinomianism? What is that? Doesn't that sound contradictory? Is there even such a thing? And I say to you tonight, yes, there is. There is such a thing. And it might sound strange at first, but it's not a strange phenomenon at all. In fact, Although properly antinomianism and legalism may be described as two ditches or two extremes, they're not true opposites. Children, think of it this way. Antinomianism and legalism are really two heads of the same monster. Two heads of the same monster that at times, even in the church, seem to oppose one another, to fight against one another, to bite and devour one another within the very church of Jesus Christ, so that it splits apart even. But they have the same heart that is anti-church, anti-God, and anti-Christ. And not only is that monster working antinomian and legalism together within the church, but we can all feel that monster in our own hearts. We've all seen legalism in our own lives. Self-righteousness, pride. And we've all seen antinomianism also, whereby we are against God's law, excusing our sin. They have the same heart. And this is the case James makes clear in our text. Remember, the James epistle is against antinomianism directly. In our text, verse 11, he uses a phrase that really means the same thing as antinomian. Against the law. Notice with me. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother. Then this phrase. Speaketh evil of the law. Literally, the word evil is not there. He speaketh against the law. James brings up antinomianism in the text. He's criticizing it. You're speaking evil against the law. But then at the same time, as he brings up speaking against the law, he is also bringing up using the law to judge your brother. He brings both of these concepts together. Confess, there is some depth here to this text and this sermon. I am giving you meat to chew on tonight, meat that I am still chewing on. But let us seek to understand what an antinomian legalist is, and his sinful judgment in particular, finding that tendency in our own hearts. Antinomian legalism. First, it's judging opposed. Second, it's judging examined closely by James. And then finally, the judgment of God, who is the judge. James knows the antinomian heart. He's a pastor that has studied it, but more importantly, the Holy Spirit who inspires James knows the antinomian heart. And to sum this up, the sermon up, what James is talking about is an antinomian who engages in sinful judging of other people, of other people's hearts, instead of a judging of his own heart, and before a judging of his own heart, and in order to escape the judging of his own heart, he judges others. Judging. What kind of judging is James supposing? Let's consider very carefully, clearly at first, that James cannot be speaking about all kinds of judging. There is such a thing as a proper kind of judging, distinguished from a sinful kind of judging. It cannot be that James is condemning all judging, very obviously, because James himself is engaging in judgment in his very epistle. He would be condemning himself if he's talking about all judging whatsoever is wrong. James makes judging in the context, notice, adulterers and adulteresses, he says in verse 4. He makes a judgment about certain people, even in the church. In verse 8, you sinners and double-minded. He makes a judgment. And even in a very text that we consider tonight, James is making a judgment. He's saying judging is wrong. That itself is a judgment. How foolish, therefore, it is to say that all judging is evil. James would be contradicting himself by that very statement. Which, by the way, is what many in the church world engage in. You've heard it before. They quote Jesus out of context. Don't judge me. You're being judgmental. Which, by that very claim, is a judgment, you see. Contradicting their own statement. All judging is not evil. Jesus says in John 7:24, judge not according to appearance. And there Jesus gives actually an imperative. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Jesus there shows we may not only judge, but we should judge. The world and the church world is plagued by a disease that we need to be warned about. As we consider this text, and that disease is exactly an unwillingness to judge. Everyone may do what is right in his own eyes, as the time of the judges. Instead of declaring what is right to be right, making a judgment about that, and declaring what is wrong to be wrong, the world, courts today, and even the church, quote Jesus out of context and says, we may not judge. Judge not that ye be not judged. Instead of calling heresy, heresy, false doctrine, false doctrine. Let's just agree to disagree, the world and the church world says. Let's all just gather together and be at peace one with another. Let's let sin continue and let there be an expanding gray area of what is Christian liberty. Let's all be free to do what we want to do. That's the idea and mentality today. Tolerate and condone. Let not churches do discipline and make judges. Let not members call upon brothers and sisters using Matthew 18 to make judgments about their behavior as they continue in impenitence. Many fear to make necessary judgments in fear of being judged as judgmental. But Jesus calls us to a proper kind of judgment, a humble kind, a kind that speaks the truth in love. In James 5, verse 20, the last verse of our epistle, James says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. This is true love. True love is not to ignore sin and compromise the truth of God's Word. True love is to seek out a brother who is continuing in sin, a sister who is continuing in sin, and carefully, patiently, but firmly show the error of his way that he or she may turn in true repentance and cling to Christ once again. Without any judging, there would be no discernment. Without any judging, there would be no careful evaluation, no commitments, no convictions in the church. And without judging at all, the church would be destroyed. Now, there's a proper and necessary kind, but now that's not the point of the text. The point of the text is that there is a certain kind of judging that we may not do. James is opposed to, and Jesus is opposed to, in Matthew 7, judge not, that ye be not judged. Three kinds especially, 3 points about the sinful judging that James is addressing. First, hateful judging. Hateful judgment. That's what James is speaking of in verse 11. That first phrase we read, speak not evil once one of another, brethren. More literally, the phrase speak evil is to speak against. Speak not against one another, brothers. The right kind, proper kind of judging is to speak the truth in love to your brother. Sometimes that truth itself is difficult and sharp, but necessary for the good of the brother. But James is talking about taking that truth and attacking your brother, to hurt your brother, to get revenge against her, in order to promote yourself in pride and to destroy that person's reputation. James is talking about hateful judgment that perhaps may look right outwardly, but is done with evil motives. The kind of judging in order to make yourself look good. The kind of judging that is slanderous. Kind of judging that is not uncommon in our circles sometimes, where we raise up a straw man of a certain position that someone else is taking. Straw man arguments called in logic. This is what they hold to, assuming things about them. And then tearing it down as though you have won. It engages in name-calling, in sarcastic tones, with an angry spirit, often in ad hominem argumentation, not speaking to an argument, but speaking against the man. It engages in rash judgment, not willing to listen carefully to what another person has to say first, and quickly impugning upon them motives. It is quick to call a brother a heretic. It is concerned not so much about winning a brother's heart as it is winning the argument. My beloved Protestant Reformed people, I warn you of this kind of hateful judging, because this is one of our, I include myself in it, one of our weaknesses or besetting sins. We will destroy one another with this kind of judging. Do not judge with this hatred, but judgments must be spoken in love, recognizing the brother, the sister, as opposed to a false teacher. God's word is sharp against a church who dares to take His precious truth, which is a sword. It is a sword. But to take that precious truth as a sword and ruthlessly and carelessly swing it about like Simon Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane, without thought to wound. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, or we can put, instead of knowledge, their doctrine, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, and have not charity. Though I have all doctrine and have not charity, I am nothing. Hateful judgment is what the Spirit opposes here in James. Secondly, and related, damning judgment. James is talking about the kind of judgment that judges a person's destiny and judges a person's heart. A judgment that says, you're not going to heaven. You're going to hell. A judgment that says, destruction is yours. A judgment that says, I don't think he's regenerate. He's not a real believer. Very few, of course, will actually say those words. We're too smart for that. But many will think it and will treat another as such, reprobate, because he or she is not, perhaps, Protestant Reformed. That this is the kind of judging that James is combating, this damning judging, is proven by verse 12. There is one lawgiver, James says, who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? What James is meaning there is, God alone is the judge. Who do you think you are to make such damning judgments? It is God alone who may save and destroy and declare who is saved and who is destroyed. Not you. Such judging is wrong. Now let's be careful, let's distinguish that from a proper kind of judging. Again, it is proper, of course, if you are aware of someone who is continuing in sin, and it's very clear that you warn them carefully, but warn them of hell. Yes, Scripture does that. When you see someone confessing blatantly that he or she is saved by his works, warnings of hell are necessary to turn a person's heart to escape hell in Christ Jesus, to repent of their sins. And yet we may never carelessly speak it so as to communicate that they are going to hell. James opposes hateful judging. He opposes damning judging. And thirdly, and perhaps mainly now, James speaks against hypocritical judging. He's speaking of the same kind of judging that Jesus especially speaks about in Matthew 7. You can turn there to Matthew 7 and you'll see that very clearly. In Matthew 7, we read Jesus speaking to the disciples and the Pharisees, "Why beholdest?" Meaning, why are you looking? Why beholdest thou the mote or speck, the little sliver that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam or the big log in your own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, "Let me pull out that mote, that speck out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine eye, thine own eye. Thou hypocrite," Jesus says, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Notice, Jesus is not saying that there may not be any judging at all. In fact, Jesus says, "Cast out the beam or the log out of thine own eye, and then go, and you are able to see clearly and properly to cast out the speck in your brother's eye." There may be a proper kind of judging. Cast out the speck in your brother's eye. But not this improper kind where you keep in your own sin, you remain in your own sin with the log in your own eye. Hypocritical judging. Now, you say, there's an addiction I have to address in my brother. They're addicted to pornography. They're addicted to alcohol. They're addicted to a sin or a substance. Wait a minute. What about me? First, is there an addiction that you are struggling with? That I'm struggling with? We repented of that first. You say, "He should forgive. She should forgive." Well, first, what about the bitterness in your heart? All their worship practices, all those churches out there, they're wrong. What weight are you engaging in? Heartfelt prayer life, devotional life, worship truly at your heart and church? That person's dressing immodestly. He's looking where he shouldn't look. What about the lusts in your heart, in my heart? All those false doctrines out there, those churches, maybe here. What about here? In my heart, Thou hypocrite, Jesus says, such hypocritical judging is sinful. Now we can understand James better. James is talking about antinomian legalism, I said. What is antinomian legalism? It's hypocrisy. That's what it is. That's the definition right there. Antinomian legalism is hypocrisy. It's okay if I break the law. That's antinomian. But it's not okay if they do. That's the legalism. It's okay if I break the law and follow my man-made laws. It's not okay if they break the law and don't follow my man-made laws. James in our text says, stop, the present tense. And that phrase, speak not evil one of another. The present tense with a negative mean, stop. He's indicating that this is continuing in the church of his day. He's talking about churches of his day and it's talking about churches of our day. You who are continuing in this kind of antinomian legalism and hypocritical judging, stop. Stop. And who of us can say, that's not me? That two-headed monster, remember? It's our sinful nature. It is our sinful nature. Against the law. Wanting to continue in my own sin. And then a self-righteous legalist to point out someone else's. We all need to flee to Jesus for forgiveness. James opposes the kind of judging that too often takes place in the church, the hateful, damning, hypocritical kind of judging. In our text, he exposes, as he examines this judging, he exposes it with three criticisms. First, James says that this kind of judging is itself a breaking of the law. This kind of judging is itself a breaking of the law. Verse 11, speak not evil one of another, brethren or brothers. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh against the law. The word brother is supposed to stand out. James intentionally repeats the word brother three times. Brother, brother, brother. Who are you judging? Not the false teacher coming in, but brothers, brothers, sisters. What is your attitude toward them? What should be your attitude toward those brothers? Brothers, brothers. Love. Love. The law says, love your brother. The law says, I am for your brother, to protect your brother. Don't infringe upon me, the law says, because I'm here to guard your brother, your neighbor, your brother, especially in the church of Jesus Christ. And James says, this is what you're doing. You're taking that law that says I'm here to protect a brother. And you're using it to smack your brother on the side of the head. That's not just ironic. That's not just ironic, James says. Using the law of love to hate your brother. But it's against the very law. It's against the very law that you say you uphold. Your judging is antinomian or anti-law. Your judging, he says, is speaking against the law. An application. I said there are a variety of antinomians. And they are. There are some who are of the very pious kind. Some antinomians, yes, are drunks. Some antinomians are those who engage in pornography habitually. Some antinomians are those who are addicted to all kinds of drugs and they're saying, "Let us sin that grace may abound." Yes, some are that way. Some, and James is addressing such in this text, may be part of a very conservative church. They might go to church twice on Sunday, know their theology, and not engage in any of these shameful sins. And what James is saying is this: the hateful judging, the damning judging, the hypocritical judging is antinomianism against the law. But James has more to expose concerning this judging. He says, secondly, that when the heart is engaged in the business of this kind of judging, then the heart cannot engage in the business of obeying the law. Where he holds up now, obedience to the law truly from the heart and judging with the law against the brother. And he says, these two activities are mutually exclusive activities. You cannot do one and the other. It's either or. Just as you cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. Just as you cannot be a friend of the world and a friend of God, he brings up in the context. So also, you cannot. It is impossible for the human heart to engage in hateful judging and also obey the law. It's impossible. That's what he's saying in the second part of verse 11. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. You've transitioned from doing to judging. And it's one or the other in the Christian life. Cannot do both. Here James gives us great insight into the antinomian legalist heart. Here's the wickedness of the antinomian legalist heart, which is in all of us. A sinful heart judges another exactly so. He doesn't have to obey. Not consciously all the time. But you judge, and I judge in this hateful way, exactly so, we don't have to do the law. Think about it. If we can point to all the false doctrines out there, then I can be distracted from the false doctrines in here. If I can talk about all those wicked abusers and all those homosexuals and all those adulterers, then I don't have to talk about me and how I need to repent. The antinomian legalist calms his conscience, shifts his attention to other people so that he may be distracted from his own need to improve. Jesus constantly pointed to this in the heart of the Pharisees. And he could see right in there to the Pharisaical heart. He talked about how the Pharisees pointed out Sabbath breaking in other people, murder in other people, judging in other people, so that they could avoid obeying the law themselves. They were above the law. Matthew 23, verses 3 and 4, Jesus says about the Pharisees, they say and do not, Everyone thought the Pharisees obeyed the law. Jesus says, they say, but they do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them upon men's shoulders, but they themselves will not lift one of them with their fingers. You could see right into their heart. And then they construct. And we construct. Not only the law to judge others, but we construct a man-made set of laws to judge, which are actually easier to obey because we can follow our man-made laws a whole lot better than God's law. Man-made laws to obey so that we can have a facade of righteousness and accuse others of breaking the law even more. If you and I dare to examine our own hearts honestly, we will see the same sinful nature within. How often have you and I being accused of real sin, counterattacked? That's the exact same ploy. They're a sinner too. Not that that's the point, but that distracts us from dealing with mine. They did it too. As a judge, James says, you cannot do the law. And third, James exposes this antinomian legalism. Not only, as we saw, first, by saying that this judging is the breaking of the law. Not only by saying that judging makes one unable to obey the law. But now third, such judging is to exalt yourself above the law as though you are God. James shows this very serious. Verse 12, there is one lawgiver, he says, who is able to save and destroy, imply there's one, there's not another, and it's not you. Who art thou that judges another? But to take on this judging mentality and attitude is to usurp God's position as though you're above the law and exempt from the law. And thus, James is saying, you not only attack your brother, and your sister. You not only attack the law itself, but you attack God, the lawgiver, in a blasphemous sort of way. Who do you think you are? And who of us is innocent? We know theologically we know that we have a very, very dark, sinful nature. But now I'm asking you tonight, I'm calling you tonight, know really with your heart that there is a two-headed antinomian legalist's dark nature here that is so proud as to cover up that antinomian legalism, but God's Word exposes it today. You and I want to evade obedience. You and I want to judge others by that law. We want to construct our man-made righteousness. We want to talk about how others are heretics. And not me. And since I'm right, I may engage in hateful speech to prove it. Both extremes, antinomianism and legalism, are found not only in the history of the church and in our churches, but both extremes are found in your heart and mine. This is the depths of human depravity that James shows us tonight. And this is the judgment of God. Judge not, lest ye be judged. That's serious. Or James puts it, there is one lawgiver, not you, who is able to save and to destroy. And He will destroy. God the judge will come to destroy antinomians and legalists. Even in the church, those who say, Lord, Lord, I never knew you. And yet James does not say only he is able to destroy. But first, James says, thankfully, he is able to save. He's able to save. A merciful lawgiver is also the Savior. He is able not only, but he is willing to save. And he does save. Who? Antinomians and legalists repent and believe at the foot of the cross. That's who. Who admit and acknowledge, I am that chief sinner. I'm not just that publican in Jesus' parable. I'm that Pharisee. Be merciful to me, the sinner. Remember, there is only one lawgiver, one who will save. And His name is God. And His Son is Jesus Christ, who is also the judge. And the calling tonight is, believe in the Jesus Christ who comes to suffer in your place as legalists and antinomians by nature, to endure your judgment and your curse, which we deserve, the judgment that we ought to endure forever in hell. Believe in this Jesus, not just about Jesus. There's a difference. Not just about Jesus, as another doctrine that you can say, look, I hold to this doctrine about Jesus and no other person does. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a person Jesus. A real Jesus. More real than the person sitting next to you right now. A person flesh and blood who came and took upon Himself your flesh and blood to suffer in your place. To suffer your hell upon that cross. You believe in Him desperately more than you ever have. You believe in Him. For your salvation, that is the only way that you and I can be saved. The one who has died not only, but has risen again and will come again to judge as the lawgiver. In His mercy to those sinners who cling to Him alone. And His righteousness is this. This Jesus Christ, a real person, was never a legalist. And He was never an antinomian. But He came in perfect obedience and submission to God's law. And then comes as judge of us. To declare us righteous as though we are never antinomian or legalist, just like Him, perfect in His sight. Brethren, that's how James addresses us. Brothers, it means by that not just that you are brothers of James, spiritual brothers and sisters of James, but brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. Brothers, sisters, of Jesus Christ and the family of God. You're forgiven of your sins. And now in thanks and true gratitude, be a doer of the law before you are a judge. Amen. Let us pray. O God, searcher of our hearts, Thou dost know us, and Thou hast tried us, and exposed us before Thy sight. Lead us, we pray, in true faith, in the way everlasting. Make Christ Jesus more precious to us than He was before. Grant us His power to fight against our naturally antinomian and legalist hearts, and draw us nearer to Christ Jesus in relationship to Him and to Thee, humbling us before Thy sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.